And once again, good afternoon, brothers and sisters. And once again, welcome back. Let's do something a little bit different today, okay? Something a little bit different today. I would like to tell you today about a fault, which is, in fact, the very worst fault that you can possibly have. And you probably never even heard of it before. But no exaggeration. Very worst fault that anybody can possibly have. This fault is at the root of every sin. It's at the root of every moral failing. It's at the root of every personal defect. This is the fault that took down Adam and Eve. It's the fault that made Cain hate Abel, made a coward out of Pontius Pilate. Any soul that's ever gone down to hell, this is the fault that took him there. And this fault dogs every last one of us, without exception, in our spiritual life. What's the fault that I'm talking about? Now understand, this is a fault, not a sin. It's a big difference. What's the fault that I'm talking about? It's the idea that you cannot be separated from the particular good. Let me say that again. The idea that you cannot be separated from the particular good. Now, what does that mean? What's the particular good? Well, consider that your life is filled with good things all the time. Some are immediate and right in front of you. Some are distant in the future. Some are greater, some are lesser. The particular good is the one that's right in front of you at the moment. That's the particular good. And if you can't let that go, it's a big problem. Here's some examples. Imagine for a moment a man who wakes up every morning at 4:15 a.m. Why? Why does he wake up every morning at 4:15? Because he wants to have time for prayer, and he wants to be able to get to the early morning mass before he goes to work, and he's come to realize this is really, really important. So every single morning, he gets out of his nice, warm, cozy, comfortable sleep, and he gets up out of bed. What's the particular good in his case? It's nice, warm, cozy, comfortable sleep. If he can't say no to the particular good, he'll never be able to do the rest that he wants to do. Give you another example. Here's a man. Let's imagine a man whose doctor tells him, you got to lose 20 pounds for your health. Got to do it. Man says to himself, all right, got to lose 20 pounds. Then Thanksgiving dinner rolls around. Someone passes right under his nose a plate full of hot, steamy, cheesy pasta. So he takes a helping. Takes another helping. What's the particular good in his case? The hot, steamy pasta, right? The cheesy, yummy wonderfulness. If he can't say no to the particular good, he's got a problem. Give you another example. Some of you right now, as you sit, are in the most valuable real estate in St. Teresa Parish. What am I talking about? I'm talking about those of you who are sitting on the ends of the pews, right on the aisle, right? I've been at this church thing for a long time. I've learned some people really defend that little spot on the aisle. I mean, at all costs. It could be their ailing mother. It could be their dying brother. It could be Jesus Christ himself who wants to get into that pew. They're climbing over to go sit in the middle because they won't move out of the end. What's the particular good in their case? The spot on the end of the pew. Can you see how if you're not willing to let go of the particular good, you got a problem? Because sacrifice means letting go of the particular good for something greater. And sacrifice is what love is made out of. Love is nothing but sacrifices for the good of somebody else. And if you can't let go of the particular good, you can't love. And that's a problem. And if you understand that, then you understand the parable of the talents that we just heard, right? Everybody's heard the parable of the talents before, right? Here's the wealthy man who gives out 5 talents to one, 2 talents to another, 1 talent to a third. I hope you've heard this before. But talent refers to a block of gold. I'm just curious, how many of you knew that talent was money in the Bible? You ever heard that before? Okay. We use the word talent very, very differently from how this parable uses the word talent. When we say talent, we're talking about a skill or an aptitude, correct? Somebody's got a talent at singing, somebody else is talented at playing the guitar, somebody else is talented at dancing, somebody else is talented at painting. That's how we use the word talent. That is not how talent is used here in this gospel. A talent was a block of gold that weighed 75 pounds. That's what a talent was. Now, even if he got one talent, that was worth about 20 years what a man could work as a working man, 20 years' salary. It's a big deal. So three guys get these talents, two of them invest, one of them buries it in the ground, right? Two of them are successful, one of them comes up a loser. What's the difference between them? Answer: the ones that were successful were willing to be separated from the particular good, because you can't get a return on your investment unless you're willing to risk what you've got, right? Unless you're willing to let go of the good that's right in your hand. Now, sometimes Jesus uses images from the financial world in the Bible. And you ever stop to consider this? Before Jesus was an itinerant preacher, right? Before he was the rabbi, before he was widely known, Jesus was basically a small business owner. He worked in the carpenter shop. Or how about the apostles? Before Jesus called the apostles, they were, most of them, fishermen, right? Basically, they were small businessmen running a fishing business. Financial terms are things that Jesus' listeners and that we clearly understand. And you know this. In the financial world, if you don't risk, you lose. If you want to keep your money safe, stuff it in your mattress, you already know this. You're losing money every day to interest. Jesus is making the same point. In the ways of God, the same fact applies. To play it safe is to lose. Now, most of us don't want to sacrifice because we feel like we just lose out, right? You give up your middle seat, whatever it is. Maybe you don't have the pasta at the dinner, or you let go of any other particular good that might be in you, where you feel like you just lose out. And the message here in the Bible is, although that might be true in some ways, that's not true for the ways of God. In point of fact, whenever you sacrifice for the things of God, you always, always gain. The saints understood that. One of my favorite quotations from Padre Pio. Just curious once again, how many of you heard of Padre Pio? Okay, most of you heard of it. If you don't know about him, you should look him up, but I won't tell you about him right now. Padre Pio once said that if you knew the value of sacrifice, you'd be fighting against one another to be able to offer more sacrifices. Every human relationship that we enter into, we have to risk. Because to enter into a relationship is to give somebody your heart, right? You give somebody your heart, you give them the power to hurt you. It feels like a risk. But in the ways of God, you never lose. It feels like a risk, but it isn't. Catholicism is the hardest religion in the world because it's made out of sacrifices. You take any of our least popular teachings, right? The ones everybody loves to hate. You talk about chastity outside of marriage, even chastity within marriage for that matter, when you understand the meaning of the word chastity. Or you talk about contraception, any of these things. What do they all have in common? They're all about sacrifice. Because you feel like you lose out. But in the ways of God, you never lose. In the ways of God, you always gain. One of the things that we need to realize is that we're living a lot of our lives sort of in the shallow end of life, always playing it safe, never taking a risk. Some people, they go through their day and it's the same thing day in, day out, and they say to themselves from the depths of their soul, there must be more to life than this. There is. Get out of the shallow end of life. The saints did not hesitate to do a cannonball into the deep end, so to speak. They gave it all away. And the message today, very simply, is nobody ever did that and regretted it. Nobody ever sacrificed in the interest of God and what he calls us to and walked away a loser. We feel that the opposite is the case, but this is a very, very important lesson for us to learn. We come to the end of the church year. At the end of the church year, the readings always talk about the last things. You know, death and judgment and heaven and hell. And you heard in the second reading, and the time is passing, and it's all going to be over like a thief in the night. All of this is passing. You want to live your life safe? C.S. Lewis had a wonderful image for this. You can do that if you want to. Take your heart, wrap it up into a package, cover it up with lots of comforts and pleasures, lock it away in a box. Try to keep it safe. The only thing you'll end up doing is losing it. Because if you try to keep your heart safe, your heart will become hard, impenetrable, and ultimately irredeemable. This is what Jesus meant when he said, if you try to save your life, you'll lose it. But if you lose your life for my sake, you'll save it. Just a tiny little reminder here. Here at the end of the year, let's remember not to be afraid to give a wholehearted yes when we hear the voice of God, that he might say to us what he said to these servants, well done, my good and faithful servant. Well done. Enter into your master's joy. Amen.